That is hardcore.
This is hardcore shit.
But for me, it's harder and harder to resist.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hardcore Horror with Mike and Bridget. Tonight, I am here without Bridget. Bridget is sick, and so she will not be joining me tonight. But that's okay, because we have a guest, and he is going to be filling in as a co-host as well. And this is Aaron Irons. Now, he is a local filmmaker, and he has made this new movie called Chest, and we're going to talk to him a lot about this movie, see what his process was, how he got it made, what it's really about and everything. And so let me just introduce you. Aaron, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, man, good to have you on board.
Yeah, good to be here.
Thanks for helping me anchor this ship tonight. I've been solo otherwise.
I'll do my best.
Awesome. So, Aaron, tell us a little bit about this. Now, this is your very first movie. Is it the very first movie you ever made? Is that correct?
Yes. I've worked on a few projects over the years, but it's the first movie I've ever done myself.
Wow. I'm telling you, that's quite a grand opening there to start out with. That's pretty cool. Because usually people start out with shorts, or they've been doing little projects, directing little things here and there for a long time. But so you just jumped right in and said, this is what I'm going to do, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I thought about doing a short, and I had a lot of people, like, when I told them I was going to do a feature as my first, they were like, so you're doing a feature first? And I was like, yeah, why not? And Now I understand why people were kind of skeptical about it, because it's not an easy process.
It's not. And I did the same thing, too. I made a little feature, the very first thing I ever did, ever, as well. And then after that, I went back and did some shorts. So, it's a lot. It's a daunting process. And especially when you're wearing all these hats, and I'm looking at the credits here, and I see Aaron Irons, you know, it's just the same thing with anything I've ever done. So you really did a lot of this stuff yourself, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend it, but it's just kind of
fun. Right.
Because I wrote the script, and I kind of cast it myself based on just people I knew and then people that they knew, and was able to get a really good through contacts that I have, and like all the prop design and everything, wardrobe and everything, I kind of just did by myself.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot easier than hiring someone else, I guess. But eventually I had to stop doing everything, because it was, you know, it was a lot once we got into actual production.
Right.
So, but I had a really good crew, very, very small crew, but everybody knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
It was enough to be effective. So,
right. Well, this movie is called Chest, and you shot most of this in Tennessee, correct?
Yeah, it was all in Tennessee.
All in Tennessee. All right, great. And now this is I would say found footage. Would you call it a found footage movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of, some people would say it's more of a hybrid found footage, just because.
Yeah. Okay. I
tried to, not have it be all shaky camera and.
Right. Sure.
Try to up the quality of it a little bit, but still, keep that the feel of the found footage stuff. But
mm-hmm.
We weren't gonna try to do anything like trying to trick people or anything like that. Like people know it's a movie.
Right.
But yeah, it's a fun genre, and it's really interesting the culture that's developed behind it as well. Like just being in all these found footage groups, like it's pretty fascinating just how deep people get into it, how purist a lot of people can really be too.
Uh-huh.
There's like arguments that break out about it's like it's not found footage because of this or that, and it's like, well, it's still just a movie, and we're all trying to enjoy it, but.
Right. Well, I'm going to be honest. Now, found footage is not one of my particular favorites. It's really kind of not. It's kind of on the bottom there for me. But there are aspects of there are certain select ones that I absolutely love with found footage. But it's just not my favorite genre. So I'm going into this movie, and I see it's going to be that kind of found footage thing. And then you're like, and it's kind of a reality TV thing. And I'm like, I really don't like that stuff. So I'm thinking, I'm not going to really like this movie that much. You know, I'm not going to really get into it that much. But after it's all said and done, I think it's fantastic. I think he did a great job with it. This is not a typical found footage movie, I don't think. To me, it seems a little bit like a love letter to Blair Witch. Am I wrong there? I love Blair Witch, by the way. There's some nods there. Am I right?
Definitely. I mean, I feel like most found footage movies, there's always a nod to Blair Witch, because it's mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't the first found footage movie, but it's definitely a lot of people's first found right. footage movie.
And
you know, just the whole everything about the Blair Witch fascinated me, just from how they made it and mm-hmm. You know, how they cast everything, how it was written, and just the marketing behind it at the time, because I saw it in the theater when it came out, and I was there with people that thought it was real, and you know,
oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
It was just, yeah, it definitely it started something bigger, and then you know, a lot of other things came along. But Blair Witch is kind of the intro mm-hmm. for a lot of people.
Well, I think it's one of those things also that you had to have been there too. I think going to the theaters and watching that movie and kind of experiencing it through that in that time period, I think those are the people that really love that movie. I think if you're, you know, a teenager now and you're just coming onto it, I hear a lot of people go, oh, that was boring, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah. I think it was sort of a cultural thing, you know, just kind of, you kind of just had to be there. But I was there too, and I do. I really think that one is fantastic. But now, you know, this is your first movie. You're coming, you know, you've done some things, but you haven't made a movie. I was very impressed with everything, the camera work, the sound, and everything. Your cast is phenomenal. How do you know how to get it? Like, there's so many missteps that usually a first time filmmaker, I can speak for myself for sure, makes typically. How did you didn't make too many mistakes here, but how did you get that to just kind of flow very well?
Just really a lot of dumb luck.
Okay.
There's definitely like I could point out, you know, a million and a half flaws in the movie, but
right.
The main thing that we went into it with is, you know, it's got to have good sound.
And you're a sound guy, right? You've done some sound before, is that correct?
Yeah. That's my background's in audio and stuff.
Okay.
Years ago, but that was my main thing, and I had a really good sound guy that was with us pretty much the whole shoot. So. And the audio was always really good and made the whole process a lot easier. And, you know, as far as filming it, like, we just tried to make it as consistent as possible. And continuity was a big thing, just because we had so many cameras running at one time. And there was a lot of that. So we just took a lot of extra detail to, you know, make sure that there were, when you go without having an actual script supervisor or any of those roles, we're all just kind of like, okay, remember where this was. And like, it was very, just jump in the deep into the water type process, because I didn't really know what I was doing for most of it, but we were figuring things out.
Yeah.
And sometimes that dumb luck just going into it kind of, not knowing what goes into a lot of these areas of making a film made it a little easier, just because mm-hmm. it wasn't as daunting knowing, like, okay, I got to do this and do that. And everybody just kind of contributed, you know, if somebody noticed something that was off, or if somebody was flubbing a line that I'm not catching, like, you know, we were all kind of involved in the process.
Right. Right. Well, your young crew is they're great, but I love your elderly people. Like those they really brought the acting chops there for those little cameos and smaller roles there.
Yeah,
a lot of great performances there. So, how many days did you shoot this movie?
Well, we shot we kind of just had a bunch of different shoots that were like the stuff in Nashville, which pretty much anything that's in a house or a bar or in the actual car driving around, it filmed in Nashville. And we would just, whenever we could get everybody together, we'd have a day of shooting, you know, a couple scenes or something. But we probably did about 4 days in Nashville, and then we spent a week in East Tennessee where we just all lived in this cabin together. And
okay, we're at in East Tennessee.
Telco Plains is mostly where it was shot.
Okay. What about the cave scene? Where was that?
That was in Telco as well. Okay. That's where it's actually based. Like, that's where they're actually supposed to be at.
Right.
Because one of the things about the movie is it, you know, we say based on real events, but the real events are actually a lot of the stories that are brought up in the movie. Like the actual story of the chest, where mm-hmm. like hunters found it and it was locked up, chains and everything. Like that was a story that I was always told as a kid.
So this is a legend in that area?
Yeah. Okay. And we used to go out all the time trying to find the cave and try to find that box and everything. And there's also a story about Ebenezer Jeffrey that they talk about in the bar scene where there's a guy that disappeared in the woods up there and supposedly disappeared in a cave going after his hunting dogs. And that's an actual story. There's the wilderness area up there is called Jeffrey's Hill.
Right.
And supposedly his ghost haunts that area. So that was another little true, I guess as true as it can be, another real legend of the area.
Very cool. Yeah, that's awesome. So now you had this idea to make this movie. How do you had this idea. You've never made a movie. You've worked on some movies, but you've never made a movie. How do you get from, I had this idea or I wrote this script. How do you get from that to I've got this movie made? How do you get there? Take us through those steps.
Well, first was kind of getting everybody I know that would seem to be interested in it. And we all just got together and had some meetings. And then when I wrote the script, I sent that to a few people and, you know, made several drafts of that. I finally got a good script that everybody seemed to like, and then start table reads and things like that, and doing a little more casting for other characters, that because the core five people in the movie, they're just those are all like good friends of mine.
Well, okay.
So that was pretty easy to just reach out to them, be like, hey, you want to do this movie? And they all were down for it. And, you know, we started doing little bits of rehearsal here and there, but everybody brought their A game, like showed up and knew their lines. So it was once we started actually having set days for shoots, like everybody came and made it pretty easy. So it wasn't a lot of long drug out days or anything like that. I think we shot something like 60 pages of script in East Tennessee, which is quite a bit. I didn't know that at the time, but after we thought, wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, it went pretty painlessly. I mean, it was definitely a getting through a lot of the shoots, and the film is it's a SAG production.
I was going to ask you about that as well. How did that come about? How do you get that?
Well, a lot of the core cast I had are SAG members, and originally we kind of started this out with the idea that it wouldn't be like a big, wouldn't require a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was down to do it with kind of off the SAG books, but once we started like planning out, you know, like week long travel trips and stuff like that, they were like, you know, I can't do this without SAG involvement. We didn't want to compromise anybody's.
Right. It didn't work for the Evil Dead girls. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, I'll go SAG. And that was a very stressful.
So we're talking about you know, breaks. We're talking about insurances. What all are we talking about there? How did you get to that point where you're like, oh, okay, I can now be SAG?
Yeah, well, it was just in order to keep those people that I'd already cast, and we'd actually already shot a scene at that by that point where they were like, it's going to have to be SAG. So I went through that whole process, and that was just – it's just so much red tape stuff.
Yeah.
And, which SAG does good things for actors as far as, like, protecting them from really toxic filmmakers that don't pay anybody or, you know, just really don't treat their actors well, which I had no intention of doing because, you know, these are my friends. But there was just a lot of – I think I spent like a month just going back and forth with the script and them telling me I can't do this shot, or like it was insane. Like some of the requirements they have, like I had to cut out a lot of action and stuff from the script.
Just, really?
Yeah. I mean, there was like stuff where they're in the water at one point and SAG was requiring me to like hire two divers to be on set.
Okay.
And then like do a water test. And I was like, okay, let me see how much that costs. And it was like $14,000. I was like, okay, I guess I'm not getting in the water now. So right. It was just a lot of that, like back and forth, tearing my script apart. And then finally we got to go ahead and it was fine. As long as, you know, I paid everybody, and which you know, I paid everybody. Everybody involved got paid.
So how did you come about your budget? Did you already have the money in place before you started?
Well, we talked about, you know, getting investors and stuff like that. And me mm-hmm. and the other producer, Josh Croft, who also plays Jeff in the movie,
mm-hmm.
We were just like, let's just do it ourselves because
okay.
we'd rather not, you know, get other people involved and, you know, have to satisfy investors down the road. And, right. Which turned out to be the best decision we made because I just took out a personal loan to cover mainly the payments to the actors and just like food and travel costs and all that stuff.
So that, equipment? You already had equipment and everything?
Yeah. Yeah. I bought a lot of equipment instead of renting it. So
right.
In case I want to make another movie down the road. Right.
Well, that's the best thing. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, but, self-funding was the best idea because I don't really have – I've paid off the loan since then. So we're like, we don't have any debt with the movie. So we're just
okay.
– we can do whatever we want with it.
So that brings me to the next question. So you made this movie. It's a good movie. You own it. What are you going to do with it?
Well, the first thing is we're just going through the festival circuit right now.
Uh-huh. And,
A lot of festivals don't want you to have the film available publicly while the festival
right.
is going
right.
on.
Right.
So we're not really, we don't have any streaming or anything like that yet.
Right.
Is
your goal to find some sort of distributor within these festivals, or are you just going to wait till that plays out and then maybe try to do it yourself?
If something comes along, I'm open to it, but I've just read so many horror stories about really bad,
yeah,
contracts with distributors, and I honestly like. I feel like the main places where this film would fit in, like I don't think it's not going to be on Netflix. It's not going to be on Hulu. Like it's not going to be on the big players because most found footage movies just aren't in general.
Right.
But you know, things like Tubi and POV Horror, and I think there's another like Wicked Horror or something like that. Streaming uh-huh. spaces. Like there's a lot of indie films that are showing up on those, and you can.
Right.
Submit those yourself and don't really need a distributor to get
right into right my movie Cellar Secrets on Tubi now, so yeah, you can do that yourself. Yeah,
cool. And yeah, yeah, I'm working on a DVD now and like doing a bunch of bonus features with like deleted scenes, and I'm gonna film a little short film to put on as a bonus.
Okay.
On the DVD, right. Trying to get very that cool. done by sometime early next year.
Very cool.
Should be cool.
Awesome, awesome. That sounds great, man. So let's talk about some other stuff. So what, you been watching any horror stuff lately? Are you a big horror fan, I take it, right? Obviously that's the first thing you made, or was that just something you were like, we'll make a horror movie first?
Yeah, I mean, it, horror movies are primarily what I watch.
Yeah.
I mean, I watch anything, but yeah, I try to keep up with all the new stuff. All
right. You see, you watched anything lately you want to talk about?
Let's see, what did I see? It's the last movie I saw in the theater with Black Phone.
That's the last one I saw in the theater too. What did you think about it?
I thought it was great. I've heard a lot of people complain about it in relation to the actual book.
Uh-huh.
The adaptation was kind of weird, but I think not knowing about the book, I thought it was kind of fun.
Right. Yeah.
No, it's pretty dark, but somebody, I was talking to a friend the other night who pointed out the fact that that movie is sort of, it's almost like a game, like a video game, where you're trapped in, or it's like an escape room game.
Where
you're like,
right.
Like in the room, you're getting these hints, and you have to like complete an order of events in order to like to escape, or you know, like the kid ends up with this routine that he has, and I don't mm-hmm. want to throw out yeah. any spoilers, but. Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
I really enjoyed it. I think Ethan Hawke was terrifying in it. You know, I think a lot of people compare it to Sinister because it's the same director and Ethan Hawke. I mean, I probably like Sinister better than this, The Black Phone, but I still think it's a really good movie. I mean, I love the setting, the aesthetics of it and everything. So, yeah, it was a great movie.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Anything else?
What did I see? Well, I bought the movie Dash Cam the other day.
Oh yeah, I watched that. What do you think?
I loved it. It's definitely like everybody's pretty upset, or like it's very polarizing on the internet when you read
right.
talking about it. But I don't know. I've watched it 3 or 4 times now, and the more I watch it, like I catch more things and.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really well done.
I do too. Yeah, I heard some people saying the main character was annoying, but I enjoyed her as a character. I thought she did really well. And to me, that one had a little bit when it gets going. It has some of that VHS sort of, you know, that the VHS movies, the anthologies, that sort of quality. And I saw a little bit of that in yours as well. Is that another favorite of yours? Do you like those sort of anthologies?
Great.
Those are
always really fun.
Yeah, like I said, there's certain ones of the found footage genre that I really love, you know, I really do love, but then there's a lot on them just like that, you know, not my thing. I want to run through a few of these movies that I've watched recently. Again, rewatches or just movies that I've seen. They're not necessarily hot off the press, just I rewatched the WNUF Halloween special. Have you seen that one?
Oh yeah.
I love that movie.
It's really good.
I mean, the amount of detail that they go through to make this movie, it's just insane to me.
The commercials are just
fantastic. They're the best, right? They're the best. Yeah. Intruder, remember that one with Bruce Campbell was in it for a second, but the Raimis were in it. The one about the grocery store. Did you ever see that one?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Yes, it's called Intruder.
Yeah, I'll check that one out. Is that on Shudder?
Yes, it is on Shudder. Or it was, anyway. It was on Shudder. But it's a great movie. And especially if you ever worked in a grocery store, you'll be like, yeah.
I did work in a grocery store.
Oh, there you go. I checked out Crimes of the Future. Did you see that one?
I haven't seen that yet. It's been on my list.
Yeah. I'm not going to give anything away then, but I liked it. But hearing all these stories, the hype of it, you know, about people walking out and throwing up and stuff, I didn't see it. I know I'm desensitized. I know that. I'm a sick fuck. But I do think that that's a little overhyped. I think if you go in like, oh, this is going to be crazy, it might not get there for you, but it's a good movie. It just wasn't like, to me, it wasn't like, oh my God, this is so extreme, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, I liked it. Finished up season 4 Stranger Things.
Yeah, that was phenomenal.
Great season. I watched Baisez-moi, which is a hard. This podcast is hardcore horror. We try to watch. We don't specify completely just with hardcore horror, but we try to watch hardcore horror a lot. Baisez-moi is a 2000 French film. But really, I wouldn't really call it hardcore. It's hardcore, but that's mostly just because it's okay. It is a film co-directed by a porn actress starring porn stars, and they do unsimulated sex in the movie. But it is a movie, and it is a quote-unquote thriller horror movie. But as far as like the gore or anything like that. Or any like in the storyline, I would not call it hardcore. You know, I think it's only hardcore because of the said acts. But it's still a good movie. They did pretty good with it. Honestly, it wasn't bad. I enjoyed it. Let me see, what else have I seen recently? I rewatched Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the one from the 70s with Donald Sutherland. You know, every time when people are talking about remakes and like how remakes surpass the originals, they don't usually mention that one, but that one, I think that one is just fantastic. And I think it surpasses all the other makes that they have made in that movie, from the original to the newer version that they've had. They've had one in the 90s and 2000s too. But I just love that 70s one.
Oh yeah. I actually watched that not too long as well. I think.
Really?
Yeah, it's on Shudder now, I guess.
I don't know if it may be, but yeah, it's great. Yeah. So I watched a little bit of that Resident Evil TV show. I didn't finish it. Have you seen any of that?
I started it.
Yeah.
It looks kind of cool, but I was distracted and haven't gone back. But
yeah, that's kind of me. I was a little bored the first couple of episodes. I watched, I think, maybe three and four. It was started getting a little better, but I just haven't went back yet. I did end up watching that Shining Veil. Did you see that? Have you seen that? The Courtney Cox thing, the show about they move into the home and there's like a ghost and it's possessed and stuff. It's a horror comedy show. I really enjoyed it. It has a lot of nods to the old movies, like The Omen, especially The Shining and The Exorcist and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun.
What's it called?
It's called Shining Veil. It's on Stars.
I'll have to check that one out.
Rewatch Manhunter. Remember Manhunter, the one, Hannibal Lecter before Anthony Hopkins?
Oh, yeah.
I still like it. I mean, obviously Hopkins, you know, kind of made it his own, but I watched a movie. I went to this July Fest. There was this sort of festival thing where I was a vendor this last weekend and got a couple movies. One was The Hike. This is a movie made in East Tennessee from some boys over there. It was pretty decent. I mean, it gets a little talky there, especially in the beginning, but as you know, independent films can do. But yeah, it wasn't too bad. I watched Dead Shadows, which was a 2012 movie. I never actually even heard of this movie, but I really enjoyed it. It's a French movie. It's not hardcore or anything like that, but I liked it. I thought it was really good. I watched Men. Have you seen Men?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I liked it, but man, I had to sit and think about it for like that ending. Was most bizarre things I've ever seen. Like it was so good.
Yeah,
you know, like the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, a story has been told here. Like it's so much symbolism, and like that director, I can't remember his name, but he's always just been so weird, and I love it. Like I liked Annihilation a lot.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. Yeah.
But yeah, I thought Man was really good. I the creepiest part of it was definitely the naked man.
Yeah.
That scene.
For sure. Just that, because he's so nonchalant.
Yeah. That scene in the movie where he's just out there, I thought was genius because they just kept you think she's going to see him and she doesn't. And then there was so much tension in that scene. It was great.
Yes. And this is how a talented person can make a movie with the subject of patriarchy or, you know, stuff like that and make it complex and make it very good. You know, this is like the total opposite of that Black Christmas remake.
Yeah.
which I loathe.
Yeah.
but this movie is fantastic. I mean, the approach that he does, and like you said, all the symbolism he puts into it and everything. And wow, kudos to that Roy Kinnear guy, the guy who does all those different roles.
Yeah.
How great is that? I mean, just fantastic.
That was definitely a COVID thing.
Was that the reason for it?
I think I read something about there being like the idea of him being the same person was sort of there, but not everybody in the movie.
Uh-huh.
It was just like she keeps seeing his face in other people, but the fact that he was playing them all, like,
I think that's what makes it even creepier, right? Yeah. It's like, especially because she doesn't even know it. She doesn't even pick up on it until much later.
Yeah.
Like, that worked out great, you know? Some other things I watched. I watched the What We Do in the Shadows season 4, the couple of episodes that dropped on that. Do you like that show?
Oh, yeah. That show is just fantastic.
Yeah, I love it. American Horror Stories, not Story. Dropped the first episode on of season 2. That one was pretty good.
Yeah, I like the Stories series a lot because it's almost like a Tales from the Crypt type, without a crypt keeper. But having each episode a different story is always really cool.
Yeah. It's always cool when they connect in some way to the canon horror story, you know, and this one does. I've watched a lot of other stuff. I'm not going to run through all this because it is a lot because we haven't podcasted in a little bit. But the last thing I watched was This Is Gwar, the documentary that dropped on Shudder. Did you see that?
I was about to watch that earlier. It's definitely on my list.
Fantastic. And I obviously had no idea that there was such a rotating door in Gwar, but I mean it's crazy. But yeah, it's a lot of if you like the music and like them at all, it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, I saw them years ago at Bonnaroo.
Oh yeah?
I actually played in 2009 at Bonnaroo, and so I had backstage passes everywhere, and I was backstage at Gwar, and it was one of the weirdest experiences. Like, it was almost like meeting the cow before you eat the burger. Because, like, I was backstage and I saw this guy come back. He's in this giant robot costume. And he just comes down the stage and takes everything off. And it's just this little old man inside of it. And he sits down on the edge of the stage and he just looks so tired. And he's dumping fake blood out of his boots and stuff. He's just dying in the heat, and then somebody comes by, and they're like, "All right, you're on. And he's just like, oh, man. He has to put all this stuff back on and stomp back up on the stage. But,
wow.
Yeah, those guys are fantastic.
Yeah. So now you said you were playing at Bonnaroo, so you were in a band. What band were you in?
This was with a band called the Non-Commissioned Officers
back in
2009. We stopped doing stuff around 2010 or 11.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, that was kind of a one-time thing, but it was really cool.
So we how long were you guys a band? A long time before that, or?
Well, it's kind of funny. That's sort of how I got into film and met a lot of the people that I worked with on this movie. There was a movie made in Nashville back in 2007, 2006, I think it's when it was released, called Make Out with Violence. And the band that I was in, there was a really cool soundtrack to the movie, and they made this band to play shows from the movie and to raise money for the movie. So there was a lot of these concerts that they were having, and they were playing the soundtrack to the movie. And then later I wound up joining the band. And then after the movie kind of ran its course, the band just, we just kept making new records and stuff. So
okay, that's
that
cool.
that was born from a film project.
Yeah, nice. And what did you play? Did you play? Were you a singer? What'd you do?
I played synthesizers.
Okay. Very cool. And so that helped you because you all obviously did the music on the movie, right? On Chess?
Yeah. All of the music in the movie are different bands that I've been in. And the non-commissioned officers, there's actually some of that. We had an album that never got released. And I called the guy that produced it and was like, hey, you care if I put these songs in my movie? And he's like, oh, go ahead. So.
Awesome.
It was cool to have like a repo of music that I don't have to worry about licensing.
No, that's very cool. I was in a few little small bands back in the day, and I put their songs in my movies as well. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, man. So you done this movie. You did it mostly with your friends and stuff and people that you knew. Are you going out there and meeting the local scene? Do you know any of the local filmmakers from Nashville and surrounding area?
Yeah, I've met a lot of people just through this whole process, and most of the actors that are in the movie are pretty well connected in the local scene, and
so
by proxy, I've met a lot of people through it.
Very cool. And are you planning on showing the movie anywhere locally or in Tennessee?
Well, we actually got into the Defy Film Festival.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with that one. It's a really good local festival. It's going to be August 19th and 20th.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know the schedule of when our movie's showing, but that'll all put it on the website or something whenever they start selling tickets. But that'll be technically the first premiere in Nashville.
Okay. And have you had a premiere back where you shot it, back where the legend is from? Have you had that yet?
No. We thought about that. I'm not sure where we do it, but it'd probably happen at some point.
Yeah. That sounds like a great idea. Yeah. Having the cave, right?
Yeah. The cave, that was me and my wife are big cave explorers, so we had a lot of caves to work with.
Oh, yeah? That's awesome.
I just love shooting in caves because people get really freaked out just naturally without really having to do anything. You just show someone in a cave, and they're like, nope, don't do that.
Yeah. So there's a cave in Knoxville, and I don't know if they've done it yet or not. They're about to. They're going to show The Descent in the cave.
That's cool. I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah, sounds like a terrific idea right there.
Yeah.
All right, man. So we're going to do this little thing called quotes, which is going to be a little awkward because it's just you.
Okay.
Usually Bridget is here to help figure it out, but I'm just going to run through five quotes, and you can just tell me, just trying to guess, see what you think that they're from. Okay.
Okay, I hope I don't fail on this. Really,
it's okay. There is no grade. All right.
All right.
Number one. Eat a bowl of fuck. I am here to party.
That's Night of the Demons.
And boom! There you go.
Night of the Demons. I love that quote.
That's a great movie, huh?
Eat a bowl of fuck.
All right. Here we go. Number two. Good night, sweet prince. May flights of devils wing you to your rest.
Oh, man. I have no idea.
It's by a little girl who was transformed into a vampire too early.
Is that from Interview with a Vampire?
Yep, that's it.
Oh, okay.
Claudia says that one.
A good one.
All right. Number three. I wonder who the real cannibals are.
Man, that sounds that rings a bell, but I can't wonder who the real cannibals are.
Most people would say this is the first found footage film.
Oh, Cannibal Holocaust?
Yep. Cannibal Holocaust. When they're looking over the footage, he says, I wonder who the real cannibals are. All right. Here we go. Number four. In Poland, we don't ask, we do. Why problem make when you no problem have, you don't want to make?
Oh, man.
This is found footage.
It's not, is it Chernobyl Diaries?
No. These people are in Poland. They're looking for a certain giant.
Certain giant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. No.
There's bear killings, and they're looking for this giant, mysterious thing. Movie's called Troll Hunter.
Oh, I was about to say that, but I forgot that that was in Poland. Yeah, that movie's incredible.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I like it. Yeah. All right, last one. Here we go. Ready?
All right.
I love wolves because they love deeply, but they do not know how to express it, and they are often very violent and, quite frankly, murder the things that they love.
Hmm.
This is also found footage.
Is it What We Do in the Shadows?
Mm-mm. This is a very small cast. I think maybe two people in the movie, three.
Oh, man, I should know these. I've watched so many found footage movies. Trying to think of one that has wolves.
Well, it doesn't have wolves, I'll tell you that.
Oh.
But there is a mask.
Yeah, I no idea.
Got a guy who lures another guy. There's one part where he's sitting on a bench.
Oh, Creep.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah,
Creep.
I love that movie.
That's a great movie, huh? Yeah, and that's how you can do it right. You know, like very simply too.
Yeah, I really hope they're supposed to make a third one.
Oh, yeah?
And, the director said that if, Creep 1 is like his Evil Dead and Creep 2 is his Evil Dead 2. So Creep 3 is basically going to be his Army of Darkness where it just goes off the walls and it's like, so who knows what they're doing. I hope they just go insane with it and just,
yeah.
Here's this final crazy movie.
Just batshit crazy, yeah. It's going to be awesome. I mean, yeah, he does a great job just being a creep, you know? All right, man. So what else you got going on? You finished this movie. You're getting it out there. You're obviously doing the promotional stuff right now, which is daunting. But what do you got in the back burner? You got some other movies lined up? Are you like, well, this was hard work and I don't want to do anymore? What are you thinking?
Well, I've been writing a few things and, I've got a few ideas for the future, but mostly I'm trying to put everything into promoting this and, seeing where we can take it. But I've got a few things. I've got a couple of screenplays that I've been working on. They're all pretty deep in the East Tennessee Appalachian horror
awesome. Well, great, man. That's fantastic.
A lot of stories to tell.
Well, what really impressed me about the movie is you didn't make it about just a bunch of hick sort of hillbilly situations, it wasn't like just what a lot of people when they make a movie about Tennessee, they want to make it about a certain type, right?
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you didn't do that because we've seen a lot of those.
Yeah, that was very intentional. I didn't want to, I get tired of the whole redneck trope of Mm-hmm. Everybody's yes. dumb and rapey.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Me too. Yeah. For sure. All right, man. So let's tell people where they can find, obviously, the movie. They're going to have to look up and go to festivals and stuff to find that. But where can they find out about the movie, find out more about you and about your projects? What do you – tell me some of your websites and stuff.
Well, chessmovie.com is probably – I keep that pretty up to date with like upcoming viewings and festivals. And once I start having merch and stuff available – there's a store on there, and of course, like some people, you know, if you want to watch it and like yourself, like I can send out a lot of screener codes just so people can check it out.
Yeah.
And just, you know, get people's, just to get an idea of how people are, enjoying it or not enjoying it. So, but so far the response has been really, really surprising to me, to be honest. Very happy with,
yeah. A lot of okay, say. That's good.
Then our Instagram as well, also Chess Movie, like that's pretty up to date. And so any announcements will be on one of those channels.
Okay, so Chess Movie at Instagram. Are you on Facebook and all that, Twitter and all that stuff too?
Not with the movie. I'm just never okay. Facebook.
And what about you? You have your film company site too?
I have a domain, but I haven't put anything on it.
It's, okay.
There is a IFKY Films YouTube channel, but it really just has our trailer on it right now.
Okay.
Yeah, in the future, if there's future projects and things like that, I'll start, you know, fleshing out the IFKYfilms.com.
Sounds good.
We'll have stuff on it eventually.
And this is your company, or are you in partnership with other people?
Yeah, it's all mine.
It's all you?
Right. Yeah, I basically had to start a production company in order to work with SAG. So
right.
Which is right. Good. It protects me.
Yeah. Well, very cool, man. Yeah, like I said, I'm really impressed with, especially being your first feature. I think it was done really well. I think you can only go up from here, or, because it's you obviously knew how to make a good movie from the beginning, which is, again, you don't fall into a lot of the traps that a lot of people do when they make their first movie. So good luck, man, with everything. And if you ever need anything, just let me know. I'm actually in East Tennessee as well now. So and I know some people here as well. And so, cool. Yeah, man, just.
Yeah, thanks for having me on here. Great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm so glad to have you. And we'll have you back again if you make a new movie. Okay.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, man. Well, take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye.
Wow, that's hardcore.
Nothing harder.
Hardcore Horror with Mike and Bridget is a part of the Tennessee Horror Podcast Network.